This is the Montessori Mother Podcast. I'm Caitlin from Montessori Mother Early Learning Center in Berlin, Germany. In the previous podcast, we discussed letting the child lead by preparing an enriched environment that assists their natural learning process. In addition to preparing the environment, we also have to prepare ourselves, because the adult has the very important role of giving guidance, modeling behavior, removing obstacles, and setting limits when necessary. This is the topic of our podcast this week. Let's talk first about removing obstacles, because this is what we should do before we start setting limits. Has your child ever cried because they wanted to have or do something that you had to say no to? This is inevitable. We will have to say no sometimes, but we can also provide as many opportunities as possible for the child to be as independent as they'd like and make their own choices. This is what some call creating a yes space, which is just a place where your child is allowed to do more than they are not allowed to do. Toddlers get frustrated when they feel that their needs or desires are not being heard. Essentially, they just want to have more control over themselves and what happens to them. They want to have an active role in their daily life and have the ability to make choices that affect them. And this is completely natural and understandable, but it comes as a shock sometimes because as small babies, they were more likely to let things happen to them, and now they can say no. Sometimes a power struggle can arise between a parent and a child, and this is not what we want at all. In Montessori, we give the child the ability to make choices by offering two appropriate options. This removes the obstacle of having too many options. Do you want to wear your green sweater or your gray sweater? This makes a big difference for the child. We also allow the child to do so many things by themselves and give them freedom to choose their activity, to do it as long as they like, and we only step in to set limits when it's necessary, and they trust us because we do so. I will refer to saying no as setting limits sometimes in this podcast. The most frequent reason people say no is because of safety. Removing obstacles means keeping dangerous or precious objects out of reach so we can let the child play without interrupting them. It's very easy to figure out which obstacles to remove. Just let your baby or toddler play freely in your home for 15 minutes minimum, without interrupting them, and just observe yourself. If you feel pulled to redirect them or stop them from touching something, it's a sign that there is an obstacle which might need to be removed. This could be a wobbly table, a plant with dangling leaves, anything that you feel is dangerous. The space should be so safe that you're able to walk into another room and trust that they will be okay. Removing obstacles is also about making activities available which the child can access and complete entirely by themselves. If something is too high up out of reach or pieces are missing, then they're going to have to rely on you to complete their activity, and it's not really educational at that point. It's much easier to prepare a space where everything they need is at their level and they're allowed to use everything that they need, like on a Montessori shelf. When we set limits with children, we do so in a very kind and clear way. Babies and toddlers are just trying to understand the world around them, including what they're capable of, what is the correct way to interact with others, and what is expected of them. The adults in their lives are the providers of this information, right? So we give the child security and order in their understanding by letting them know the limits of their environment. I will paraphrase the way Maria Montessori describes it in her book, Discovery of the Child. A child's freedoms are limited to the interests of the group to which he belongs, so the family, the classroom. We should therefore prevent a child from doing anything which may offend or hurt others, or which is impolite or unbecoming. But everything else, every act that can be useful in any way whatsoever may be expressed, not only permitted, but observed by the adult. So we always remember that we are also learning from the child. Maybe what we think is a limit isn't really a limit at all, and we should let them do what they're doing and see what happens. If there's no potential danger, then there shouldn't be a need to interrupt them. Let them create their own challenges and solve them for themselves. This reminds me of a typical example in my classroom, window washing. A child is introduced to the activity for the first time and loves the spray bottle so much that they spray and spray the whole bottle of water onto the window. I would not interrupt the child in this situation. This activity is useful because they are learning a new skill, how to spray a spray bottle, and they are using it in an appropriate place, on the window. And when they are satisfied with spraying, I might remind them that we wipe up the water on the window and the floor, but I also might not, depending on what they do after they finish spraying. In my opinion, their behavior is very constructive, so I wouldn't interrupt them, even if lots of water drops are running onto the floor. It's helpful to know in advance what your limits are, so it's easier to express yourself when the moment arises. It should be quite easy to set clear limits because you know that the reason the child is approaching them is because they just don't know yet what's appropriate or inappropriate, and they are discovering which it is through you and through your example that you give to them. To give another example, in my classroom, I don't let children climb on the tables. It's a limit I set for every child in a kind and respectful way. I tell them, I can't let you climb on the table, but you can climb on the climbing bridge. And I might also say, I'm going to help you get down. 3, 2, 1, let's go climb the bridge. Notice I didn't use any default words like no or stop or careful. I didn't stress out. The situation wasn't urgent or dangerous. It is simply a limit that the child is learning, and I am there to guide them. If they climb up on the table a second time, I will say the exact same thing again. If they climb up a third time, I will add something like, I'm going to bring you to the climbing bridge now, and we will use the table later. It is much easier to model appropriate behavior and set clear limits from the beginning than it is to correct inappropriate behavior later on. Some limits are explained silently through modeling, some can be explained verbally, even with small, small babies, and some can be shown with a sign or a guide. Every time you set a limit, you should be nice and honest with the child because they are still learning what the limits are and what is expected of them to do. We should also set limits which are logical and easy for the toddler to understand. Let's look at an example a bit more severe than climbing on a table, like biting. If you respond to a biting situation with, no, you can't bite people, it's confusing because they have bitten someone, so clearly they can do it, and it would be better to say something like, he doesn't like to be bitten, or biting hurts and I can't let you hurt anyone. It's also okay to let the child know how you feel about the limit and say, I don't want you to bite me. If a mess was made or someone was hurt before we set the limit, we should also go back and clean up the mess or check on that person. Just as we give natural and understandable limits in the space, there also might be a natural consequence to the child crossing a limit. For example, if they are persistently using a toy in an inappropriate way, perhaps they're throwing it across the room, you can say, I see that you are not using this gently right now. I'm going to put it away, and we can try again later. If you would like to start removing obstacles in the environment, giving more freedoms and responsibilities to your little one, or adapting an area in the home for them to use, you can make a list of everything you want to change, choose one of those things on the list, and spend a few days working on that one specific area of your child's life. It's better to make changes gradually and comfortably, one by one. I have found it very helpful to make a list of all the limits you want to set, how you will show or tell the correct behavior before a limit is crossed, and what you will say if the limit is crossed, and if there are any natural consequences of crossing that limit. If you have a partner, let them know what you're doing so they can use the same words as you. If you're a multilingual family, they can say the same thing in their own language. When you're writing this list of no's, remember that the restrictions on what the child can do should only be limited to their safety and consideration for the people, things, and space around them. So there shouldn't be that many. Babies and toddlers are so innocent, pure-hearted, and eager to learn. Our goal is to prepare a peaceful place where children can play freely to develop an uninterrupted love for learning and respect for each other. If at this young age children can thrive in this kind of environment, they will be able to recreate it in their adult lives and improve the world around them. Thank you for listening. This has been Caitlin from Montessori Mother Early Learning Center.